수수지 똑배 신실이랑 같이 주변아 아니 어 주지도 좀 봤다 민경아리 라멘실 마멘실다 망이실사기 주지도 내 거니 아 아니 그래서 전직 그다음 민망구 유리잖아 아니 전직다 가서 우리 보게 아 민망구 옆에 인도 디제네 그다음 전망구 타와다 야 그다음 민망구 주고 전직 그래다 어디로 전에 당연히 주셔
If forms, for instance, were actually established by way of their own character as the basis of names, then a form, what do you say, then there would be no possibility of there being many names for one phenomena. If phenomena were established by way of their own character as being the basis of names, then prior to learning the name of a phenomenon, one would just by looking at it have to have a sense of what its name is. Through such proofs, one is to ascertain that forms and so forth do not exist by way of their own character as the basis of names. But it does appear as if forms and so forth appear within the context of having their own entity separate from the entity of, say, the perceiving of the eye consciousness that perceives them.
So, Taku, Naranze, Kazo, Toma Mebane, Kushinam Shikitendo, Kanda Numumbe Pajakwe, Numumbe Pajakwe, Paja Tenjumuanke, Tanumu.
But it is explained that even though there are no objects which have an entity external to the entity of the perceiving consciousness, it appears to be this way due to the activation of predispositions that are with the mind basis of all, or alaya vijnana, these having been established by beginningless accustoming to the expression of names.
If
through meditative reflection on reasoning one comes to understand that all phenomena are of the same entity as the consciousness that that realizes them, One understands that although phenomena appear to have entities separate from the although external phenomena appear to have entities that are external to or separate from the consciousness that realizes them, they do not, that they are empty of such a difference of entity between subject and object, and through this one realizes emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
So this is called an emptiness of subject and object, or apprehender and apprehended as being different substantial entities. This is the view that the mind-only school presents. When one realizes that these objects which appear to be entities external to the consciousness that perceives them actually are not external entities, what do you say, separate entities from the consciousness that perceives them, they cease to be so, they cease to serve as such solid bases of desire, hatred, and so forth. Thus, from this point of view, this view is very helpful. And thus it is that many adepts and so forth in India achieved high states in dependence upon this view. And there were many who achieved realization in the tantric path using this mind-only view as their view.
Oh yeah.
So even nowadays, it could be that this view would be very appropriate for some persons. So even though from the prasangika point of view, the Chittamatran view is lower, if it's suitable for one's mind, then one should put it into use nevertheless.
Oh yeah.
That's it for today.
His Holiness now begins Friday afternoon.
To accomplish the completion of the path requires a full commitment of study, instruction, and meditation, so that one might offer the highest gift to people, that is to say, the teachings. Working to provide shelter, food, and protection for those in need also can demand one's full commitment. Therefore, how can one balance these two requirements so that one can swiftly attain the capability of offering the teachings while not neglecting the immediate material needs of sentient beings? One has to do whatever one can.
I think you see, my own position is something like that. You see, I myself try to practice certain thing, at the same time carry, let's say, certain work which essentially benefit for other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I think you see,
for people who have circumstances similar to mine,
the most important is cultivate good motivation. With that motivation, and carry out your daily program. And now, say, in early morning, as well as in late night, at least, you see, sometime, 1 hour or half an hour, something like that, you see, practice, some meditation, or some recitation, some deity yoga, something like that. Then, you see, in daytime, while you are working, And from time to time, memorize, I'll say, remember. Suveda, remember, there is motivation. And you see, in each morning, before starting real work, you make, I'll say, the determination or will, I will carry my, you see, today's work according the teaching and maximum useful for other beings. Then evening, you say, before go to bed and check the daily, daily work, whether I worked really according my own, my determination.
Yes, one's first motivation or not.
If something, if day passed with your motivation, then you give yourself courage. Now I did good. I filled with my wish, and my one day, not at least, is not wasted. If something wrong, then self-criticism. Oh, this is very bad. Despite my knowledge, despite my ability, due to careless or due to laziness, I not fulfilled. You see, self-criticism, self-scold.
When forming an intention to change it in the future.
So that is the daily practice.
Does emptiness also mean fullness?
Emerge, right?
Yes, it seems so.
Usually, you see, I explain the emptiness is something like zero. Zero itself, nothing. But without zero, you can't count, you see, 10, 100 like that. So zero is something, yet zero.
How can one reconcile the practice of viewing others' faults as being mere projections of one's own faulty mind with the need to compassionately help others how can one reconcile that with the need to compassionately help others clear away the faults they have? In both the Prasangika system and the Svatantrika system, although all phenomena are only imputed by thought, it's not necessarily the case that whatever is imputed by thought exists. If one holds that things are whatever one conceptually makes them to be, that's an extreme of nihilism. If you said that yellow is white or the white is yellow, you're saying that or thinking that doesn't make it so. Although there isn't any phenomenon which is not posited by conceptuality, whatever conceptuality makes up isn't necessarily existent. This will be explained a little later. Since all beings are developing at different levels at all times, when a Mahayanist vows not to enter into nirvana until all beings are liberated, how is it possible to fulfill this vow? In terms of how one develops the altruistic intention to be enlightened, there are three different modes to that sort of thought. One being like a shepherd who attains enlightenment, what do you say, who comes in after his herd. One like a king, which one first arrives at the high state and then helps others. And then the other is like a boatman who crosses together with people. This just refers to the type of thought that one has when one generates the intention to become enlightened, because one necessarily becomes fully enlightened as a Buddha as fast as one can. When using a deity as the object of concentration, is it best to focus on just the visualization, on just mantra, or both? If the visualization is very steady, there's no way that the visualization and the mantra can come at the same time. There'll naturally be at different times. One will naturally have to stay without reciting mantra. As it says in the books of instruction, one should visualize the deity, and then when one gets tired of that, when one becomes tired, then one can recite mantra as a means of reviving. Is there some way? Thus it is the case that for those who don't know how to meditate well, they don't do the visualizing of the deity, but instead just recite mantra, and thus they have no way to rest except to leave the session. Is there some way Buddhists and communists can work together, or are their philosophies completely opposed? Do they share any common goals?
And this is a serious matter. And now, since quite some time, I'm thinking seriously about it. And I believe that there are, despite the differences, I think there are common grounds. And anyway, it is far better to find common ground and make a dialogue between Marxism and Buddhism. Buddhism general, particularly Mahayana Buddhism. This I believe. You see, because the reason is they're from Buryat Republic in Siberia. From that place up to Thai border, more than a quarter of a mankind. You see, in these places, you see, peoples in deep down, majority are Buddhist. At the same time, country governed by communist state. So the past, you see, the few decades history shows that neither one cannot win completely over other one. And remaining hostile attitude to each other. It will bring more suffering. It's more suspicion and more suffering. Complete loss of mental peace. So if we find workable common ground and dialogue, I think more open, less rigidity Marxism. I believe, you see, original Marxism is, I think, more pure. So later, you see, Marxism very much involved nationalism as well as world power politics. So this is something different. Third, from similarly, from Buddhist viewpoint, from Buddhist side also, must, you see, accept reality and more open, more flexible. From Marxist side also, become same attitude, I mean, adopt the same attitude. I think then we can work, this I believe.
Yesterday you stated that suicide was equal to killing a deity. Does this apply to the Buddhist monks that burned themselves in protest of the Vietnam War? I said that with respect to someone who has the tantric vow, who is meditating on himself or herself as a deity. It's difficult to talk about that particular situation in Vietnam. If those persons at that time had as their motivation anger, that would be unsuitable. But then if they had a sense of altruism, seeking to help a great number of people and so forth, then it could be a different situation.
I appreciate, you see, many questions.
Indicating that there's a great deal of attention is being paid. But because there wasn't enough time, I wasn't able to answer all of them. And some of them, though, come right with the explanation of the text. So earlier I finished explaining about the Chittamatrans. Now the Madhyamakas. For the Madhyamakas, the middle wheel of the teaching is the main wheel. When the Madhyamakas say that all phenomena are not truly established, the other schools hold this as an extreme of nihilism. In the 24th chapter of Nagarjuna's treatise on the Middle Way, Nagarjuna states the position of an opponent who says that if all phenomena are empty of inherent existence, then the Four Noble Truths are impossible, whereby the three jewels are impossible, whereby the entry into the path and the attainment of the fruits of the path would be impossible also.
근데 이 남자 가야 되게 말 정신매나 뭐매가 잡을 뭐매나 가서 그래 최 가야 좌식 말했어.
And since phenomena lack no inherent existence, they couldn't have their own entities, whereby it would be impossible to posit any phenomena at all.
다 들어야 나가 주나 랭 가르쳐 말했을라나 랭케야 들어야 아니 개들 정신 믿어나 아니 좋아하면서 지고 파괴다 마시고 저러다 타워줘서 랭 팔라 그래.
And Nagarjuna gives us an answer back to that person that it would absurdly fall to the schools that if phenomena were not empty of inherent existence, then everything would be impossible.
Nagarjuna
further says that the other schools have not understood the meaning of the emptiness of inherent existence well. For the meaning of the emptiness of inherent existence is the meaning of dependent arising.
Mm-hmm. 균대기 차지 매베 차지 가서 다 차지 땡태베 러시마바스기 아마리 소원에
things are said to be empty of inherent existence because they are dependent arisings. They are not said to be empty of inherent existence because they lack the ability to perform functions.
다 땡지 캐라다 땡지 캐라 땡지 캐라네 땡지 임부 유제도 제대로 러시마 주고요 소원에
Thus, dependent arising is asserted, and then dependent arising itself is used as the reason to indicate that things do not inherently exist. Nagarjuna says that those schools that assert that things are not empty of inherent existence perforce must assert that things exist under their own power, whereby it would be contradictory to say that things are dependent arisings. Once dependent arising is not possible, then good and bad, cyclic existence, nirvana, and so forth cannot be posited.
Oh, that the day into my own samologi, Kasorepi, Didu Sangi, Junji Tendi Yabat the Same Kalangarva. Didn't you interview about that, Tella?
But there's no way that anyone can deny the dependent arising of phenomena, causes and effects, and so forth.
Oh, that the day into that Rangimava, never the Kalangar is on it.
Therefore, it is, what do you say, all schools should assert that phenomena are without, that all phenomena are empty of inherent existence.
This one, that's it. Yeah, yeah. That the name, umabe, that one, umasad kare, umasadi, that, kasuripe, takbeta, chebeta, ta dini, that chebeta, uma, u, get a twenty. 이게 된다는 우마세. 다 뒤든디 지마지신 가서를 바가다 땅을 퍼통에 뒤땅을 퍼베 슝리. 다는지 뒤떡베 뒤떡베 로레 달려야다. 가서로 우메 다와도 우메 슝세스기였다.
So what about the term Madhyamaka? The Madhyama is the middle, and the middle is between, what do you say, between the two extremes of permanence and nihilism. Is neither of those two extremes, and any text or view that clearly that represents this middle free from the two extremes is a middle view.
Yeah.
Within the Madhyamaka system, there are inner divisions, those of the Swatantrikas and the Prasangikas. it seems that the names Swatantrika and Prasangika are names designated by Tibetan scholars.
In Ming the Daya Gumzendi and Bumbuluru Kiru, Lovin Sanjay Jang, Buddha Bulletin Zen. Buddha Bulletin Zen, Buddha Bulletin Alalia, Kasota, Taki the Shengi, Gaya de Delia, Tenjusta Gun Sunari. That Delia, Lovin Ling Dengi, any Gun Kasor Gunjun Zeni, all that day in Lovin Ling Dengi Kanda, any Tenjus and Dugmaris, in Rangu Denzi Guri, Shen. Lovin Ling Dengi, all that disunguare. Those Shen, that Ling Dengi. Kashore, Tanya to Rangzen Yeva, Mazat Shatamji, Dandon Kala, Shatamji, Dendu, Temper Moduris, Dandoris, Aji, Shishak, Tane, and Tanya to Rangzen Yedinchi. Oh, Dinjik, that's Rish Chumbre, or Dishin, that the Umarum Gibas, that.
However, with respect to those names, one of Nagarjuna's students, Buddha Palita, wrote a commentary on Nagarjuna's treatise on the Middle Way. And in that commentary, he used consequences or prasangas in the process of explaining Nagarjuna's meaning. Bhava Viveka took exception to Buddhapalita's method and, indicating that instead of just using prasangas, it was necessary to use autonomous syllogisms or swatantras in the process of showing Nagarjuna's meaning. Mm-hmm. In Bhava Viveka's system, inherent existence wasn't accepted ultimately, but was accepted conventionally. Because one was mainly using prasangas or consequences, that one was called a prasangika because the other was mainly using autonomous syllogisms or swatantras. That he or they were called swatantrikas.
Oh, that ne? Digital ya lobe kasa. Pejer ya kasor bage. Chue tamje dandongi umma ben debe. Chue tamje dandong diye kala. Ya daga ne shiya senzam ben debe.
And then there developed a system in which the absence of true establishment, as in these other systems, was accepted, but also the absence of a difference of entity between subject and object as is presented in the mind-only system was accepted, and to form one system blending these two views, and the person who clearly explicated this view was Shantirakshita. Thus, within the Swatantrika system, there come to be Yogacara Swatantrika Madhyamakas and Sautrantika Swatantrika Madhyamakas.
Oh, that's it. Sanjay Jang Luti, Tavares, that Sanjay Jang Luti, Tandel Shani. Lending, that Sanjay Jang Mitteva taught us, gosh of Dilia, and Langabre.
And then Chandrakirti, in his commentary on Nagarjuna's treatise in the Middle Way, called The Clear Words, indicated that that Buddha Palita was correct and that Bhava Viveka was wrong.
Those Senator, Umabe, Rangu Kalam Dumaris.
He indicated that it was wrong for a Madhyamaka to use an autonomous syllogism.
Rangyuk tenzi ki tendi, susum rawandu drube gwane, susum rawandu drube debe, ta tenzi shil shayin guyari. Saya gombashis dil chavre.
An autonomous syllogism is one in which the members of that syllogism, the three modes, are established conventionally by way of their own side.
There are
many debates between them. The central debate that it revolves around is the assertion or non-assertion of a commonly appearing subject. And this boils down to whether one asserts conventionally that phenomena inherently exist or not. According to the non-prasangika systems, the valid cognizer that certifies the existence of the subject must be non-mistaken with respect to the subject's existing by way of its own character, whereas the prasangikas hold that there is no phenomenon that exists by way of its own character, even conventionally. Thus, there is no way that the mode of certification by valid cognition can appear commonly to the two parties. Because as in the non-prasangika
in the
non-prasangika systems, the subject and so forth are certified by way of consciousnesses that are not mistaken with respect to the inherent existence of those objects. Whereas in the prasangika system, any consciousness that validates or certifies the subject and so forth is only necessarily mistaken with respect to the inherent existence of that object. Therefore, there's no way that these two can go together. Thus, the prasangikas use reasons and so forth that are asserted by the opponent himself or herself, and through those means, then use consequences that use reasons that are accepted by the opponent himself.
Korang 코랑게 둠데 따셔베다 참아 디 두번이부터 켜도와.
음. 음. 봐. Yes. If the opponent, for instance, is a Chittamatran, the valid cognizer in that person's continuum that certifies the subject is actually mistaken with respect to the inherent existence of the subject. But that person cannot make this distinction. The person, for that person, it... Karina. Karina. So in the continuum of the opponent, So the prasangikas are not saying that there are no consciousnesses in the continuum of the opponent which certify the subject and so forth. However, for the opponent himself, he thinks that the consciousness that certifies merely the subject also certifies the inherent existence of the subject. Thus, one needs to make a difference between what are actually valid cognizers and how they're being misinterpreted in certain systems.
Right.
Yes. So this is the way there comes to be a difference between the prasangikas and the swatantrikas. Now in both the texts of the prasangikas and of the swatantrikas such as Bhava Viveka, the terms non-inherent existence are similarly used. Yeah, also terms such as that when one analyzes with reasoning, the object cannot be found. Even though they're using similar terms, what they're referring to with these terms is actually quite different. For instance, when Bhava Viveka refutes the Chittamatran's interpretation of imputations as not being existent by established by way of their own character. When he refutes them, his position comes very clear. His position. His position that conventionally phenomena do exist inherently is clear in his question to the proponents of mind only when he asked them if their assertion that imputations are not established by way of their own character means that the conceptual consciousnesses which impute names and attributes and so forth do not exist by way of their own character or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Not or not. He asked them if their meaning that the consciousnesses that impute names and attributes are not established by way of their own character. This indicates the Bhava Viveka holds that consciousnesses and so forth are established by way of their own character conventionally.
가사 다가 천시 쉐비어래
Similarly, also Bhavaviveka posits as an illustration of the self the consciousness, the mental consciousness.
That tenju is shana, that tenju look shana, tananda.
But from the If one applies the reasonings that the Chittamatrans use to show the existence of the mind basis of all, the Alaya Vijnana, in response to Bhavaviveka's positing the mental consciousness as the illustration of the self, they damage Bhavaviveka's position. This is why the Prasangikas, when they posit the illustration of the person or what the person is, they posit the mere I, the mere person. They don't posit anything from within the mental and physical aggregates as the person itself.